Most places, there'll be four on one side and six on the other. Why? Because the first four commandments have altogether to do with our relationship with God. Have no other gods, don't make any graven images, don't take the name of the Lord in vain, and keep holy the Sabbath day as a day to specially honor him. And the latter six have altogether to do with our relationships with each other. Honor your parents, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. So in addition to bringing together two different verses from two different parts of the Hebrew Scriptures, Jesus was summarizing the two tablets of stone. The first tablet, honor God, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and strength. Second tablet, love neighbor as yourself. If you love God, you won't want to have any other gods or make graven images or take his name in vain. If you love your neighbor, you won't want to lie, cheat, steal, or kill. So think about this a little bit differently. We see it as prescriptions telling us what we ought to do. And it is. But think of it also as descriptions of what we would be like if we really loved God, if we really loved neighbor. This is how it would manifest itself. St. Augustine did a very interesting thing. He said, you know, you can take that even a step further. Even beyond the summary of the law, you can take it to one command. Love God and do as you please. Because if you really love God, you're also going to love your neighbor who's made in his image. Do you see that? It's kind of like buttoning a shirt. Get the top one right. The others will pretty much fall. Get the top one wrong. They're wrong all the way down. I think you'll see there is an unfolding within the commandments. When you're right with God, you'll keep the commandments. It's a description. Not what you will do in order to have a relationship, but what you will do if you have a good relationship. Think of a marriage. It's not a matter of slavishly obeying the rules. Husbands, take out the trash. Don't leave the newspaper strewn all over the living room. Wives, stop hanging your pantyhose over the bathroom mirror. Stop squeezing the tube of toothpaste in the middle. You know, you could write down all these little rules and not have a good marriage. If you do have a good marriage, it's going to be expressed in lots of little acts of consideration for your partner. Somebody on the outside looking at a good marriage might conclude, well, it's a bunch of rules that they're following. The lovers themselves wouldn't think of it that way. So I want to suggest that if you don't get anything else out of this series, I want you to think about the commandments in a slightly different way, not primarily as telling us what we must do to get right with God, but as telling me what being right with God looks like. And if that's what it looks like, maybe I get convicted that I'm not right with God. Here I am thinking my life was just fine. Thank you very much. Certainly have no problem with God. And he says, well, let me tell you what that ought to look like. And I say, whoa, I'm condemned. You know, churches that use the commandments liturgically, for instance, in Lent, we don't hear each commandment read and then we say, oh, thank you for that good advice. I never would have thought of that. We say, Lord, have mercy, because I'm not doing that. It convicts me. God gives us the Ten Commandments to describe what life with him ought to look like, and that convicts us of sin, and sin drives us to the Savior, And when we repent and ask his forgiveness, we find that he not only gives it, but he gives us a new nature. He breathes the Holy Spirit into us, just as he changed Abraham into Abraham. And maybe, like the butterfly who emerges from the cocoon and suddenly can do things that he never, never could do before, we find ourselves beginning to look more like what God wanted all along. So, if you see the commandments as some kind of a ladder to get to God, I think they're going to be negative, restrictive, repressive, a bunch of rules and regulations. But when you begin to understand that your relationship to God is a gift of his love, not something to be earned, you'll find that the commandments are being written on your heart. You're beginning to do them with less and less effort. Fourth commandment, keep holy the Sabbath day. One thing you got to say about the Jews is they were thorough. If they were going to miss the point, they're going to miss it by a mile. God says no graven images, and they completely obliterate all graphic arts for over two millennia. God says don't take my name in vain, and they get so uptight about even pronouncing it that they refuse to use it altogether. God says, keep holy the Sabbath day, do no work on it, and the Jews set about compiling a list of every conceivable sort of work that could possibly be considered and punishing anybody who engaged in it. So that by the time of Jesus, there were literally 1,521 specific things you could not do on the Sabbath, including rescuing a drowning man. If picking an apple could be considered work, then you mustn't do it on the Sabbath, even if you're doing it for fun. If making a fire is work, then you mustn't do it on the Sabbath, even to roast marshmallows. Some of you know that if you go to Jerusalem and you happen to be there on the Sabbath, as soon as we hit sundown, all of the elevators go on to automatic. Do you know why? Because if you push the button, you're making an electrical connection which causes a spark, which is technically making a fire, which is doing work, which is forbidden on the Sabbath. So instead of you being able to call the elevator, you have to wait till it gets to you. And of course, it stops at every floor, so you end up carrying your luggage down 18 flights in order to avoid doing work. It wasn't only the Jews, of course. In Puritan New England, keeping the Sabbath was the epitome of Christianity. It involved 3 2-hour services every Sunday, sitting silently on hard, straight pews, even in the middle of winter with no heat, and any sign of losing interest in the sermons. Do you know there's a record of a man in Scotland getting arrested for smiling? Thou shalt keep holy the Sabbath. Well, take another look. Look at Jesus on the Sabbath. The Sabbath wasn't made, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man as a gift. God had the preposterous idea that you ought to take a day off once a week. That's what the Sabbath is about. And in taking it off, what could be more fun than worshiping him? Ever notice how many of Jesus' miracles were done on the Sabbath? I think he saved them up. I really do. First time I said it as a joke, but the more I thought about it, the more I think he really did. I mean, you know, Wednesday's a good day to heal. No, Saturday. No, save it for Saturday. He deliberately broke the Sabbath. He didn't. But they accused him of doing that. He broke their misunderstanding of the Sabbath. He said, you've totally misunderstood what it's about. It's to bless you. It's not to be a straitjacket. It's to bless you. Martha, Martha, you are so distracted in much serving. Mary has chosen the best part to sit at my feet and learn of me and enjoy me and worship me. What could be better than that? Some of the early Christians went so overboard that Paul had to warn them against getting drunk at the Eucharist. Who could have fun in worship? They were having fun. The Roman government was quite certain they were perpetrating obscene orgies because they obviously enjoyed themselves so much. Love God and do as you please. G.K. Chesterton said, Christianity appears at first a rigid guard of ethical abnegations. But once inside that inhuman guard, you will find life, dancing like children and drinking wine like men. Keep holy the Sabbath by discovering God meant it to be the best party of all. Amen?
Amen.
Comment. Anyone?
Well, most of us are old enough to remember when Sunday was truly Sunday.
Yep.
No stores were open.
Yep.
The local gas station.
Yep. The blue laws. Yep.
Yeah, blue laws. And, you know, it's a lost cause now. I mean, as soon as I think the big crutch for me was when sporting events for children started being scheduled on Sundays. And that was it.
Sure.
Sure.
We were talking last Wednesday about the Chariots of Fire story, and Eric Liddell, who wouldn't run on the Sabbath, and ended up running the 400 instead, and setting a new world record as well as getting the gold. Jay.
Observance in their country. And do you think that this commandment is more difficult to keep if you're a single person than if your community is in sync with what your faith?
I have no idea. It's been so long since I was single that I can't remember. She asked whether I thought it's more difficult for a single person to keep.
No, I meant an individual who's isolated.
Oh. Is it easier to keep if you're a member of community? Probably, yeah. Yeah.
There's a movement, I don't know how widespread it is, but I became aware of it a few years ago, of Christians who are beginning to take the Sabbath more seriously and seeing it as a time to give things to the Lord that just for that day that they normally would delight in, not out of any legalistic obligation, but just as a sacrifice and an offering above and beyond the money they might give in church or something. And that this has proven to be a blessing to lots of people to enter into a time of deeper sacrifice.
I think that's the way we need to view all such disciplines, mm-hmm. is that it's something that I choose to do out of love for the Lord. It's not something that I'm forced to do in order to win his favor. Yeah. Okay, oh, one more. Ruth.
There seems to be a strong trend these days toward having church on a different
Sure.
But I kind of wonder if among the younger set, it's taking away from the idea of worship together. I don't know. I just wondered if you've thought about it.
Well, sure, I've thought about it. Because it's a reality that some people have jobs that insist you're not going to have this job unless you come in on Sunday. So if there are alternatives that enable a person to do that, you know, St. Paul talks about one person esteeming a day better than another, and that, you know, that's not the real issue. The issue is honoring God.
And I know up in Northern Virginia, there's one church that has Monday night services.
Yeah. Sure. Sure.
Go to that, my grandchildren. So I suppose it doesn't matter what day it is, as long as you set
the time. Sure. Well, good. Let's call it a night, and we'll see you next week.